Maybe it's worth it to give some definition.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being not very precise up to now, but for instance, what is a locally compact topological space? So if you have a topological space, then it is locally compact. It's locally compact if and only if, well, for all points. So X is a point in big X, in a capital X, and O is its open neighborhood. So you have a point, you have an open neighborhood of X, then there exists a neighborhood which is compact. So there exists a neighborhood of X which is contained in O. So you have a point, you have any neighborhood, then you can find a neighborhood whose closure is compact subset of X. So such that closure of O prime is compact. So for all points and all neighborhood, so here we have a general neighborhood of X. Then you are able to find the second neighborhood of X whose closure is compact. So this is locally compact space. So and for all locally compact space, you can add a point at infinity. You can add a point at infinity. And when you add this point, then the resulting space is already compact. So for instance, when you take a plane, then and you this is locally compact space, you can add point at infinity and you get Riemann sphere. And you can all this you can do this construction for any for all locally compact spaces. So you can define, for instance, algebra of functions vanishing at infinity. Well, I gave already one definition, and you can give another definition. So this is algebra of functions such that you can extend this function to the one-point compactification, and this extension vanishes at infinity, and the resulting function is continuous on the compactification. So. But this is the definition of locally compact space. I already defined algebra of continuous functions vanishing at infinity. So maybe there are some questions.
Can you say what you mean by a definition?
Well, it is a mystery in a sense. So the first quantization is a mystery. The second is a functor. But usually you have to know what you want here in this deformations procedure. This is not a mathematical notion to deform. This is not a machinery general machinery which contains all cases, and tells you what is a deformation in general. For each case, you have to somehow be able to define it, to define these lines, these dotted lines. Okay, at this lecture, I will not give a precise I hope that you will get some intuitions of the objects that I'm talking about now, but we'll see. So let me go to the first example of quantum Lorentz group. This is so-called Heisenberg-Lorentz quantum group. So what is that? First of all, let me consider this Starhopf algebra level. So we will be talking about this line of the scheme. So here we have algebra of polynomials on Lorentz group, and now I will describe this box. Okay, Starhopf algebra level. First of all, fix a deformation parameter S. This is a real number. And now I will describe the Starhopf algebra, which will be non-commutative, for instance. It will be somehow similar to algebra of polynomials on Lorentz group. So this algebra, this algebra is a star algebra generated by four elements, alpha, beta, gamma, delta with hats, such that this is star algebra. Now I do not consider star, but alpha, beta, gamma, and delta mutually commute. They will not commute with their adjoints, which will be defined later. They satisfy determinant relation, okay, as in a classical case. Gamma hat commutes with everything. It is a central element in this case. It is a central element. Moreover, alpha star commutes with delta. And here we have a non-trivial commutation relations. The first one says that if you take a commutator of alpha with alpha star, then you get a multiple of gamma, gamma star. And gamma is a central element, so it behaves like a number. So in a sense, for gamma non-zero, this is very similar to the annihilation, or depending on the sign of S, annihilation or creation commutator commutation relation. Okay? Yes, gamma gamma star. Yes, oh, very nice, very good remark. Gamma gamma star is a real number because this is positive number with it, because this is a product of gamma with its complex conjugation in a sense. Yes, star is a formal symbol. It gives you next element of your star algebra. So any element of this star algebra is a polynomial in these eight symbols: alpha, beta, gamma, delta with hats, and alpha star, beta star, gamma star, star, delta star with hats. So this is star algebra generated by these eight symbols. And we have the following commutation relations between these symbols. So at the previous slides, we have a trivial one. There was not non-commutative up to now. And now non-trivial relations are as follows. Alpha behaves like an annihilation operator. Delta behaves like a creation operator. And those relations can be somehow deduced from the above. Why? Because we can, well, formally you can express beta by alpha, delta, and gamma. Oh, shit. Wait a second. I think that after some, I have to. No. Sorry. Okay. Let me try for 1 minute. If I will fail, then one more time. Okay. No signal. Now, what is going on? I don't know what I don't know. Well,
it's Windows. We should turn it off and then turn it on.
It's probably the best idea to do. Let me try once again. Właśnie nie wiem, który. Yes, here it is. Very nice, thank you. So let me come back to this non-trivial commutation relations. We have annihilation operator, we have in a sense creation operator, and those relations can be deduced from the
question.
Yes?
Why did you choose such a
Well, it was discovered by some people, not by me, but my PhD advisor discovered it in the 1994. This is the paper from 1994, and he found that there are many. He in a sense found all. Well, if you ask this question, Voronovich. Ah, you did not say so. So Voronovich and Zakrzewski found all possible deformation on a Starhopf algebra level of the algebra of polynomial function on Lorentz group. So this line, this axis was found by Voronovich and Zakrzewski. And one of the cases is the one that I'm describing now. So, well, I was given this relation and I had to find the sister algebraic version. I had to find, in my PhD, I have to find this line. This was already existing and I had to find this one. And I will describe you how it was done. So on the Starhopf algebra level, we have these relations. On the sister algebra, well, yes? Which one? No. The other. There are imposed by the above relation in a sense. If it has to be consistent, then it has to be like that.
The question is, do they have physical meaning?
There is something, but I don't remember. There is something related to rotation group, but I really don't remember exactly. At some point, I knew it 2 years ago, but I don't remember. without stars? No. They just commute. Generators commute without stars. They commute. They mutually commute. But if you take commutation relations, yes, of course. But it stars on. If elements commute, then you know that its stars also commute. But it is star algebra, so star algebra. You have a star which is a map which somehow does not change commutation relations. Yes, it follows from a definition from the involution. That's right. For instance, if you have two operators bounded which commute, then acting on some Hilbert space, then you know that the Hermitian conjugates also commute. This is also satisfied here. And so it was a description of a star algebra up to now of this quantum object. Now you can check that this star algebra also possesses a structure of Starhopf algebra. So there exists a comultiplication which coincide with the classical one. So it is the formula are the same like in the classical case for where there was no heads on over generators. There exists coinverse and there exists co-unit. So all the structures is a Starhopf algebra. So we have an object on the Starhopf algebra. Think of it as just a formal combination of alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and alpha star, beta star, gamma star, delta star. And you have this commutation relation. If you multiply two objects, then you have to use the imposed commutation relations. Well, you just declare them. You declare them, and you can check that, for instance, this is a morphism of algebras, of star algebras, in a sense that this quadruple of operators, delta alpha up to delta delta, satisfy the same commutation relation as alpha up to delta. So this is consistency. There is consistency condition that this. There are many. This is the paper. I was given one in a sense as a PhD student. Now, what about sister algebra level? So, at the previous slides, we have a concretely defined object. Now, this is just a list of wishes. Well, we just want to find an object. We want to find a sister algebra with additional structure, which has some properties. It is generated by, in good sense, well, it will be defined, but it should be generated as our classical object. It should be generated by four elements. And the same commutation relation should be satisfied, but you have to be careful here, because you have to give a meaning to these commutation relations. It is not automatical. You cannot write automatically such commutation relations and do not say anything more. You have to impose. You have to choose some good representations of these commutation relations, as like X and P operators. Not all representations are reasonable in a sense. Here you have to also choose a reasonable. You have to choose a reasonable representations of this. Well, it is not. This object does not exist yet. It is a list of wishes that you want to realize somehow. You want to construct a sister algebra. You want to construct generators, give a precise description of them, check that they satisfy some relation. You want to find a morphism that gives you this table. Yeah, but you have to construct it. At the previous slide, you declare something and the object automatically existed. And now it is not the case. You declare some properties and you work for 4 years then you defend your PhD. No. So star algebra is generated by four elements. If and only if algebra is generated, then you have to give a complete list of generators. But if you say that star algebra is generated, then it is enough to give elements without stars, and then you generate by all possible operations. You take stars, you take products, you take sums, and so on and so forth. So now it will be the first glimpse on the construction of this sister algebraic quantum groups. So you have a list of wishes, and now you start to think how to construct such an object. And I would like to give a brief description of this construction, and maybe tomorrow I will define everything precisely, hopefully. So you start your construction by choosing an abelian subgroup of SL2C. You choose a subgroup of upper triangular matrices. This is an abelian subgroup, and it is isomorphic just to a group, additive group of complex numbers. Okay? No. It is. It can be anything. Product in SL2C is translated into just a sum of z and z1 and z2. So this is abelian subgroup, and this subgroup can act on. This subgroup can act if you have a function, then you can shift it from left and from right by elements of subgroups of the subgroup gamma. Okay, you can shift the function along gamma from the left and from the right. So you have action of this group gamma from the left and from the right on your algebra. So if f is a function on G, then it can be shifted. It can be also infinitesimally shifted. So if LZ is a shift from the left and RZ is a shift from the right, then you can differentiate it and you get two differential operators, which are infinitesimal generators of these shifts. And you can check that these operators, TL and TR, these infinitesimal generators of shifts from left and from the right, mutually commute. TL commute with TR because shifting from the left commutes with shifting from the right. TL is a normal operator. So TL and TR can be treated well, are commuting variables in a sense. They commute with each other. They commute with their stars. So it can be, you can think of it as them being numbers. So they just coordinates on their common spectrum in a sense. No, yes, you're starting from the Hopf algebra.
And now if you look at some sub-algebras of this Hopf algebra,
no, not exactly. You're starting from the Hopf algebra. You have a well-defined Hopf algebraic object. Then you want to construct its sister algebraic version. And now I'm trying to give you, to describe you the steps which will lead you to the sister algebraic version of this star Hopf algebra object, in a sense. T is a differential operator acting, so you can differentiate functions. You have explicit formula for this differential operator. T is a differential operator. It is infinitesimal generator of the shift from the left by a group, by a subgroup gamma. So subgroup gamma can shift functions, and it's clear. Of course not. All functions can be differentiated, but well, I'm not precise. So, but this is look at it. You have precise formula. This is, TL is a differential operator. TL is also a differential operator. For smooth function, you can apply this operator to the smooth function. You can, and you get a result. It is not very important where it lives now.
But gamma, you think of it as element of your deformed Hopf algebra,
no? Yes, in a sense, this statement can be made precise that you have a subgroup, you have in your star Hopf algebra gamma, star Hopf algebra Cardi A, you have a classical subgroup.
Yeah, which is gamma.
Which is gamma.
So you see it as a subgroup.
Yes, and it depends on you on of which Hopf algebra, because you have now two. You have classical Hopf algebra, algebra of polynomial functions on SL2C, and you have quantum one. And in both cases, this is in a sense you can make the statement precise that gamma is a abelian subgroup of both of them, of quantum one and classical. Well, you can think of it as just an operator which can act on smooth functions. Point. That's all. You can apply it to smooth functions. But well, they commute. They mutually commute. By Fourier transform, you can translate it from differential operator can be translated to multiplication operator, and by Fourier transform from differential, you just get numbers in a sense. So think of TL and TR like them being numbers. They commute with each other, so there is no non-commutative VT if you consider these two operators. Now so TL and TR are coordinates, are numbers now. Think of them about being numbers which describe common spectrum of TL and TR. Now you introduce an auxiliary quantum space. So quantum space, you introduce quantum Cartesian product of SL2C. So horizontal line is a SL2C. Vertical line is a common spectrum of TL and TR. So it is coordinates on the common spectrum are TL and TR, okay? So this line is a common spectrum of TL and TR. And it can be shown that this is just Cartesian product of C, this common spectrum. So here we have this line, and G SL2C is this axis in this picture. Why it is quantum? It is quantum because this we have six coordinates, vertical one and horizontal one. Horizontal mutually commute, vertical one mutually commute. But alpha, for instance, alpha does not commute with TL. If you take a look at the definition, what is the form of TL? It is the differential operator which differentiate with respect to alpha. So alpha does not commute with TL. Delta does not commute with TR. So inside you have quantum effects inside of this space, in a sense. This is just a heuristic picture, but it is, well, quite reasonable. So you have quantum space with coordinates alpha, beta, gamma, delta, TL, and TR, and these commutation relations. Gamma commutes with everything because TL and TR was a differentiation with respect to alpha and delta, not with gamma. So gamma commutes with those operators, those differential operators. And, well, and commutation relation of beta with TL and TR can be is somehow already imposed by those relations. So I did not write them. And before we shall pass to the quantum space of Heisenberg Lorentz quantum group, let us describe a classical Lorentz quantum group using this auxiliary space X. So if you have a function on a group, then you can treat this function as function of these variables. So you have variables on a group, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. If you have a function, a group, then it is a function of variable alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Hence, it can be treated as function of variable TR, of vertical variable and horizontal one, which does not depend on TL and TR. This is a function of the six coordinates, which does not depend on TL and TR. This is just heuristic. How to make it more precise? You can check that on this auxiliary space X, there is action, there is a canonical action, well, there is nice action of C2. So there is action on C2. And these dotted lines are lines of this action. So this action is denoted by rho hat. And when you act on this coordinate TL, then you just add W1 number. Then you add complex number W1 to TL. When you act on TR, then you add complex number W2 to TR. And these lines of action are perpendicular to the vertical axis. So this action, it means that this action does not change our coordinates alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Okay, so there is such a action on our auxiliary quantum space. And now you define, it turns out that if you, so maybe one more sentence. What does it mean that there is action on a quantum space X? It means that there is action on a appropriate C-star algebra which is associated with this quantum space. So we have a C-star algebra which is generated by these six elements, and we have action of this action of C2 on this C-star algebra. And we said that these coordinates, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, are not changed by this action. So we can describe algebra of function on G as just taking invariants of this action where so we take all function on X, all function on quantum space X, so we take all elements of appropriate C-star algebra, and we take invariants of this action because those coordinates are invariant under this action. Okay, and the, yes?
What exactly is there a C-star algebra?
Yes. This is a heuristic picture of our quantum space, but the precise definition is here. And tomorrow I will define the cross product construction. But you have gamma, you have subgroup gamma, abelian subgroup, which we started with. And we said that this group can shift from the right and from the left. And with such a data, you can construct a new C-star algebra, which is non-commutative, but which encodes this action. So it says everything about this action, in a sense. But precise definition will be given tomorrow. But think of this. So this is our C-star algebra. This is algebra of function on quantum space defined in this way. If you have this data, then you can define this object. And on this object, there is an action of C2 which shifts these coordinates and leaves unchanged the vertical one. And C infinity of G, so algebra of function on a Lorentz group are just, you just take elements you just take elements of this C-star algebra, which are invariant under this action. So there are just functions which does on TL, TR, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, which does not depend on TL and TR. Okay? And maybe I will explain one more. If you have a function of alpha, beta, gamma, delta, if you have a function on a Lorentz group, this is a function of alpha, beta, gamma, delta. So we can treat this function as a function of TL, TR, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, which does not depend on TL and TR. So if you change TL and TR, then so if you apply this action, then the function will not be changed. And now what is the deformation procedure here? This is based on the following idea. It turns out that there is not only one action of C2 on our quantum space X. There is many actions. You can deform the action that I described at the previous slide. You can deform it. So you deform it in the following way. At vertical coordinates, it coincides with rho hat without s. So s is a deformation parameter. Those horizontal coordinates are not invariant anymore for this action, because you deform the action, so you have to define it also on those coordinates. So you define it in the following way. You take alpha, and you shift it by gamma times W1 bar, complex conjugate of W1 times gamma, and S over 4. This is just the decoration, this S over 4. But you take delta, and you shift it also. You take gamma, and rho hat acting on gamma does not change it. And the action on the coordinate beta can be found if you know the action on alpha, beta, alpha, gamma, and delta. So let me stress once again that those vertical elements are not invariant now. So if you take with this action, we read out the algebra of function on G as just invariants of rho hat. And we do the same. We deform the action, and then we do the same. We take invariance of this deformed action. We take invariance of this deformed action. So there exists such an action. It was defined at the previous slide. And you take invariance of this deformed action. So now the quantum space can be figured out as a perpendicular section to this line of actions. Okay? At the previous slides, if you took original action, then the invariants were space of this axis is a group Lorentz group. So, if you taking invariants meant that we take perpendicular axis to the lines of actions, and on the quantum level. You also take perpendicular, but now this subspace, it is inside. We have a quantum space, so this subspace is quantum. It is dispersed. It is thicker than the classical one. That's why, because it is well, it should be not classical, so it should be dispersed somehow. This is still a picture, and you can, for instance, you can check, you can find the generators. You can find the generators of this. Of this quantum space. You can find the non-commutative coordinates. How? Well, you have to find something which is invariant of this deformed action. So let me check that alpha hat, such a combination of alpha with TL and gamma, is invariant for the deformed action. So alpha hat is yes. So alpha hat is a combination of alpha is a plus S over 4 gamma T L star. So it should be coordinate of our quantum space. This quantum space this quantum space correspond to invariants of the deformed action. So for instance, alpha hat should be invariant under the action of rho hat of the deformed action. So let me check that. So let's take a look at the definition of this deformed action. So rho hat applied to alpha hat. What is that? First of all, we applied it to alpha, and we get alpha minus S for gamma W1 bar. So we applied this action to this part of this combination. Then we apply to the second, to the second part of the combination plus, well, maybe I will write everything. This is rho hat S of alpha plus rho hat S of S over 4 gamma T L star. So rho hat S on alpha is just, the result is written here. So this is alpha minus S over 4 gamma W1 bar plus, S is a number, so it goes through the action. Gamma is invariant of this action. So gamma, when we apply this action, we can apply to this one and to gamma and to TL star. When we apply it to gamma, then nothing is changed because action on gamma is just a gamma. And now we apply it to TL star. When you apply it to TL star, you get TL star plus W1 bar because this action preserves star. When you know how it acts on TL, then you know how it acts on TL star just by taking complex conjugate. So you get TL star plus W1 bar. And now let's take a look. This cancels with S over 4 gamma W1. So this cancels with that. And what stays is what is alpha plus S over 4 gamma T L star. So this is really alpha hat. So alpha hat is invariant of this action. So this is it shows that it can be treated as the first this defines the first generator of the C star algebra. So or in a different words, it is first coordinate on this quantum space. When you apply it to, well, you can check that also beta hat, gamma hat, and delta hat are invariant of this action. Now what about the group structure? Group structure also can be defined. How much time do I have?
7 minutes.
So, well, let me go to the final pictures because, well, maybe I will explain how to introduce group structure, how to introduce coproduct, co-inverse, and co-unit for this quantum object. Now, I would like to show you that there are nice pictures of this quantum space. So I briefly described you how to introduce your quantum space. How to introduce a sister algebra of your quantum space. You take this auxiliary space X, you have there one action of C2, you deform it, and you take invariance of this new action. So you have this way you define a sister algebra which correspond to quantum Heisenberg Lorentz group. Now, draw a picture of spectrum of this sister algebra? Yes, it does not exist, but you can imagine how it should exist. So before we start, we need a quantum space of harmonic oscillator. So I already draw it. This is Cartesian product, non-commutative Cartesian product of of x-axis and p-axis, and those coordinates does not commute. They satisfy canonical commutation relations. And well, you can introduce annihilation operator just taking combination of x and p. So, and more precisely, a C-star algebra of quantum harmonic oscillator is a C-star algebra of compact operators. But it will be defined later on. But we need the quantum space of spectrum K is a quantum space of harmonic oscillator. Now let us take a look once again at commutation relations. So for gamma different than zero, beta can be expressed by alpha, delta, and gamma. Moreover, gamma is a central element, so it behaves like a number, like a complex number. Alpha commutator of alpha and alpha star is a multiple of gamma, gamma star, so alpha behaves like annihilation operator, delta behaves like creation operator. So for gamma different than zero, we have the following picture of spectrum of quantum Heisenberg-Lorentz group. This is the axis related to the central element gamma, and more precisely to the modulus of gamma. And at, so this picture has to be rotated with respect to the zero point of this quantum space. And at every point of this axis, you have two quantum oscillators. One is described by alpha, more precisely by alpha over gamma, and the second one is described by delta over gamma. So you have two annihilation operators, alpha star over gamma star, and delta over gamma. So you have two copies of quantum spaces of harmonic oscillators at every point of gamma. And then, well, when you are far away from zero, then you have still these two copies. But something is changing when you go with gamma to zero. When you go with gamma to zero, the nature of commutation relations changes. What happens exactly? When gamma is zero, then alpha and delta are not independent anymore. Alpha times delta is one. So moreover, for gamma zero, alpha commutes with alpha star. And for gamma zero, alpha commutes with beta star. Alpha commutes with beta star because here we have gamma. So gamma is zero, so this is zero. So alpha is, for gamma equal to zero, alpha is central element. And beta, for gamma equal to zero, beta behaves like creation operator or annihilation operator, depends on the sign of alpha. So alpha is a central element. It can be treated like a number. Delta is just inverse of alpha, because for gamma zero, alpha times delta is one. So here we have, in the case of gamma non-zero, we have such a number. Here we have such a number. And it enables us to draw the following picture. So we are at the we are on the spectrum of AS with gamma equal to zero. So we have axis described related to modulus of alpha. So all pictures has to be rotated, and in all points of this quantum space one quantum space of harmonic oscillator is attached, because beta behaves like beta over this number behaves like a creation operator. So in every point of alpha is one space of quantum space of harmonic oscillator attached. But you have to be careful when modulus alpha is one, because then, let's take a look once again at the commutation relations. When modulus of alpha is one, then this number is zero, because alpha times delta is one, so alpha is inverse of delta. So this is one, and this is also one. So beta is just a commutative variable now for modulus of alpha zero. So the picture is that for modulus of alpha equal to one, you have just classical space of harmonic oscillator. So you can somehow imagine how the spectrum, if it would exist, how it should look like. For gamma different than zero, you have that. When you go with gamma to zero, something strange happens. So those axes rotates, and for gamma equal to zero, you have different you have different leaf of this quantum space. Okay, I think I will stop here. And tomorrow everything will be made precise. I will realize all those idea on the precise mathematical level, introduce all necessary definition, and I hope I somehow encourage you to come tomorrow to the lecture and to see the precise formulation and construction of this of all these objects. Thanks. Well, everything can be translated on the level of. Sorry.
Yeah, it should be. Well, yeah.
Well, I don't have the answer. What should be commutation relation and so on, but.
Physically, how
can
we understand this?
Physically, it's this subgroup gamma is you start the whole construction. You start the whole construction with fixing a subgroup gamma, and on the level of SO31, this is an abelian subgroup of a Lorentz group, which is a subgroup which leaves light vector unchanged. You have a light vector, and if you act with this subgroup, then this light vector is unchanged. So this is. And and if you take, for example, quantum field theory for massless particle, then the light vectors appear there. You have to divide by these light vectors, and this group somehow appeared in the construction, in a representation of Lorentz group, which are masses. So, but I don't know if there is any physics in that, but there are some connections, or maybe this is just coincident. I don't know. But this group on the SO1, on SO31 level is a subgroup which stabilizes light vector. But I cannot say anything more.
Mm-hmm. You also said that all information has been fully characterized.
Yes.
Lots of other families.
Yes, there are lots of other families. There is, for instance, Iwasawa-Lorentz group, which I will describe. Because the disadvantage of Heisenberg, in a sense, this deformation has its advantages and disadvantages. The disadvantage is that quantum group of rotation is not a subgroup of this object. So you don't know what is a rotation on quantum level, what are rotation on quantum level. And this group has a quantum subgroup of rotation. Quantum subgroup of rotation is a quantum subgroup of this Iwasawa-Lorentz group. And I will describe it later on. But this has also some advantages that Iwasawa-Lorentz group does not possesses. But there are many possibilities here. There is no canonical Lorentz group, non-canonical quantum Lorentz group. So.
Yeah. I understand that the C-star level of information is somehow much more complicated.
Yeah, and deeper. And
yeah, but what is the general expectation? So you have for Hopf deformation, you expect there to be one C-star deformation, or at least one, or at most one?
At most one. At most one. There are examples that of Starhopf level deformations of Lorentz group, which for sure cannot be realized on a sister algebra's levels. And the reason is that in the set of commutation relations, you have the following funny commutation relation. For instance, you have gamma hat. So there is such a deformation on Starhopf algebra levels which has the following commutation relation. And why it is not compatible with sister algebras? Because if you have an operator which acts on a Hilbert space, well, sister algebras are related to Hilbert space, and satisfies this relation, then gamma has to be zero, because on one hand it is positive. Such operators are positive. When you put it into bracket, then this is positive number, and it should be also negative. So for sure there are four examples of quantum Lorentz group which exist on a sister algebra level, and there are many, many more which exist on a Starhopf algebra level. And well, for sure there are examples on a Starhopf algebra level which does not possess a sister algebraic version, this question is not answered till the very end. There are some examples which you should work and find its sister, and there is a hope that you can do it.